20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome inside another draft edition of a Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is April 10th. We are now just 15 days away from the NFL draft. Going to be coming up here real quick. Have more great draft coverage for you guys today. But before we get into the draft and our player for today, just a few quick notes for the Packers. I'm sure many of you by now know the Packers preseason schedule has been released. Their opponents in the preseason, they'll play at home against Houston. They're on the road at Baltimore. They're playing technically on the road at Oakland, but seeing as how Oakland doesn't have a stadium right now, the location is yet to be determined. Not sure where that game will be played quite yet. And then they'll come home, they'll play the Kansas City Chiefs. So two things of note that I took away from the preseason schedule. The biggest thing is they'll be holding joint practices with the Texans, which I know a lot of fans seem to be really excited about that they're doing, which is great. And the other thing of note that I took away from their schedule is that they are playing the Raiders and the Chiefs in the preseason, and those are teams they will also be playing in the regular season, which I don't know how they determine preseason schedule or anything. That seems a little odd to me that they would be playing teams that they're going to be playing in the regular season, but maybe it's normal and maybe I don't know much about the preseason. So just a few quick notes with that there, but we will now move into the meat of our podcast today. And joining me again this week is Russell Brown and Owen Reese. Russell is a national scout for Cover1.net and host of the Cover1 NFL Draft Podcast and has been heard on ESPN Radio, Fox Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Radio. And Owen is a writer for Buck's Fifth Quarter and Inside the Pylon and played right guard at Carroll University. You can follow both of them on Twitter. Russell is at Russ NFL Draft and Owen is at Reese Draft. Guys, welcome back. Thank you again for joining us. And today we'll be breaking down Rashawn Gary from the University of Michigan. He's an edge rusher and in a little bit of my research, apparently can play defensive tackle, so we'll get into that in a little bit here, but he's a junior, 6'5", 277, 40-yard dash of 4.58, 26 on the bench, and as we were talking before we started up here, guys, you guys had mentioned that I kind of found that he was going to go in the first round, kind of around pick 14 to 15, somewhere in that range, potentially. You guys mentioned that he could go as maybe high as 7 or 8. So let's start there. So, Owen, you had mentioned that NFL scouts kind of seem to like him more than draft Twitter seems to like him. So why are you thinking he could go as high as 7 or 8?
And for some full disclosure, we were talking about that before. A lot of that thought process for me comes from Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, the guys in the media that put out mock drafts that are more connected, former guys from the league that are talking to NFL teams and not so much basing it based on their grade of Rashawn Gary, rather what the NFL thinks of him. So, and it's no secret that the NFL loves height, weight, speed profiles. We saw Deion Jordan get drafted out of Oregon a few years ago, way too high. And just basically because he was 6'6", 250 pounds and really fast and athletic and lacked refinement as a football player, but that athletic upside, the quote-unquote potential that they have is always enticing to NFL teams because there's always going to be a coach and there's always going to be a position coach or general manager that says, well, if we can just get him in our building, we can fix his flaws and then we'll have this stud football player. And Rashawn Gary is no different. He's 6'4", 6'5", 285 pounds, 280 pounds-ish in that range. He's a former number one overall recruit in high school, and then he went to Michigan. And he's always been surrounded by other alpha male players at Michigan. So I think that he always fit right in, but truth be told, he's never really had the impact or the production that you would expect from a five-star recruit that was number one in the country. But like I'm saying, NFL coaches and front offices are going to see that potential. They're going to see that brick of marble, and think that they can carve it into a masterpiece, and that they have the tools to unlock what Gary hasn't yet so far. So yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a top 7 to 8 football player in this draft. I don't think he's probably a top 20 football player in this draft. But his athletic potential, as you mentioned earlier, ran on under 4.6 at, you know, in the high 270s. He's a freak athlete, but like I said, lacking a bit of refinement as a football player.
And so, Russell, as we talk about him potentially being in that area, I mean, if he's sitting there at 12, do you like him enough that if you're the Packers that you would take him at 12? Or should Green Bay, if he's quote unquote your best option for an edge rusher at 12, should they be looking at other positions? Basically, is Gary worth taking at 12 if he's available?
Well, I'll piggyback a little bit on what Big O just said. You know, the NFL media is certainly a much higher on him, and probably NFL scouts are much higher on him because of that kind of untapped potential. I like that he brought up, you know, he was surrounded by alpha male defensive players like Jabril Peppers and Devin Bush and Mo Hurst. And to be honest, a guy that's not really an alpha male as far as physique and everything else, but a guy that's just a better football player than him right now, and that's Chase Winovich. He's not been as dominant as you'd like for a number one recruit. He's 31st on my board, which is not a first round grade by any means. I don't think he's a first round overall player with the way he performed last year and really how he's performed over the last two seasons for Michigan. But again, with the untapped potential, there's a lot there. 12 is a little rich for me. I know we're going to talk more so about what can, you know, where will he'll go between 10 and 15. I think maybe Miami at 13 is a little bit of a more realistic spot. I just don't really see how he would fit in Green Bay. I did a mock draft a couple months back, and when I was teetering back and forth with what Green Bay would do, it was really hard to pick somebody not named Rashawn Gary, because he made a lot of sense at the time, because they didn't sign the Smiths. And I know, you know, I listened to Big O on Locked On NFL Draft the other day, and great stuff, by the way, my man. And you talked about consistently adding pieces to the puzzle for Aaron Rodgers, and not so much on offense, but for defense, and getting this defense better and keeping maybe Aaron Rodgers on the field a little bit more by keeping the defense off the field. It's the more defensive talent that you have, it makes sense. But I just don't think Rashawn Gary's necessarily a fit for what, you know, this defense needs. Now, I know Mike Pettine can do a lot with this defense, with any player in this draft defensively, but again, I just think 12's too rich. But, you know, will he go between maybe 5 and 10 in this draft? Absolutely, it's a possibility, maybe even as early as 4. One team that I continue to circle back to is the New York Giants at 6. He played with Jabril Peppers in high school. He played with Jabril Peppers at Michigan. And I think there's a chance that he could play with him in New York with the Giants.
Well, Russell, let me follow up with that then. You know, a lot of what Packer fans are keen in on is that number 12 pick. Fairly high for Green Bay, considering where they're normally drafting. So, but they also have that other first-round pick from New Orleans. Now, if Gary is sitting there at 30 with that second first-round pick, is that something that would make a lot of sense for Green Bay at that point, or are you still concerned about how he fits in with the defense?
At that point, I think that's okay. I don't think that's too much of a stretch. I mean, 30, you've got you know, 2 first-round picks, and that's fine, in my opinion, to go out and just go ahead and take the best player available. And at that point, I think he would be the best player available on a lot of boards. And I would be okay with it then. Again, I think Mike Pettine can make it work, but I think when you naturally look at like where the roster is, where does he really fit in this defense? Is he going to be standing up off the edge? Is he going to be playing as a 5 technique, as a 4-eye? I mean, I thought initially he was going to be a defensive tackle, and I thought maybe as a 3 technique is exactly where he would play. But at 277, that's a little bit undersized. That's kind of comparable to Solomon Thomas from a few years ago, and he's playing a little bit out of position for San Francisco at times. So is Rashawn Gary going to necessarily do the same thing for Green Bay? Maybe, maybe not. But I think if there's anybody that could figure it out, it could be Mike Pettine. But I think 12, again, is just too rich, and 30 would be a lot more comfortable for me.
All right. Well, and so let's I want to talk about his teammate, Devin Bush. He's considered to be a first round pick. So, Owen, you know, when you look at Rashawn Gary and Devin Bush, from what I've seen, they're kind of projected to go around the same point in the draft. Is there one that you like better? And if so, I mean, is I guess are these guys both in your mind a potential pick at 12? How does he compare with his teammate Devin Bush? And is there one that you like better?
Well, I think Devin Bush is probably like his production as a player is what you expect Gary's to be. You know, with all the hype and everything that came with Rashawn Gary to Michigan and coming into his third year and being surrounded by all this talent, you would expect Rashawn Gary to be, you know, the star. And then that's really kind of what Devin Bush ended up being. He had a very strong year in 2017 and came back. I think a lot of people wondered whether or not he would leave after last year. Came back to Michigan for his senior year and really had a hell of a year. He's a sideline-to-sideline guy. He's only 5'11", so he's going to have some issues at times dealing with linemen at the second level and kind of getting covered up. But I think to take a linebacker in the top 12, I think that linebacker has to be like a day one, like clearly above average starting linebacker in the NFL. And to me, I don't know if Devin Bush is that, but I can tell you that Devin Bush is as of right now, a hell of a lot better of a football player than Rashawn Gary is. He doesn't have the physical profile. Like I said, he's under 6 foot tall and he's in the high 220s, low 230s, but he's the stud. He's the alpha. You want Rashawn Gary to get off the bus first, but I think you'd probably rather have Devin Bush playing on your defense. So I think Devin Bush is a better football player. I don't know if I would be comfortable taking either of them at 12. It's something that we've seen a bit as for the Packers that Devin Bush could be in play at 12. That's still to be seen. Brian Gutekunst took Oren Burks in the third round. He traded up in the third round to take him last year. And that's the highest the Packers have picked an off-ball linebacker since A.J. Hawk in 2005, I think, 2005, 2006. So it's been quite a while since they've taken a linebacker that high. So I don't know. I guess I think maybe Rashawn Gary would make more sense from like a positional value and athletic profile standpoint than Bush would at 12. But I would probably rather have Bush as a player at 12 mm-hmm. than Gary. And just to sidetrack a bit off of what Russell said earlier, Rashawn Gary, the talk of him to me playing three technique defensive tackle has been a bit odd to me outside of like what he looks like. Like you said, he's 277 or so, which would be like by far the lightest starting defensive tackle consistently in the NFL other than Aaron Donald, which I'm not going to use as any type of comparison for anybody until we see more. But that size profile isn't a common thing. And like I said, at 6'5 and 270, I don't know if he could really play inside. I don't know if moving him, because he hasn't been the player you want him to be at defensive end, I don't know if moving him to a different position would fix that or not. But I know Russell isn't the only one that's thought of him in that vein. But I just kind of, it's something that I'm sure other Packer fans have seen and heard as well. I know the guys at the Draft Network, list him as an interior defensive lineman at times. And that's something, I guess I just wanted to say, I don't know if is as feasible as we think, unless it was to be the only way I would see him playing in that type of role, would be like if he was the, so like Mike Patton came from Baltimore, and if you watched Baltimore in the past, so I guess not this coming year, but you've seen Terrell Suggs, and sometimes he stands up and sometimes he's got his hand in the dirt. But other than that, he's kind of all over the place. He's a bit of a hybrid. To me, in Patton's system, I think that's probably where Gary would play if he were to play. However, like you're probably going to see with Za'Darius Smith, I think maybe on third downs is maybe where Rashawn Gary would kick inside. Mm-hmm. But I've seen a lot of conversation with him as a potential defensive tackle, and I just, to me, I don't know if that's quite as likely as it might make sense to some people.
All right.
Well, the thing too on top of that is, you know, like initially I had him at that, you know, three technique playing as a defensive tackle because he was listed on Michigan's website at 283 during the season. So you're thinking, okay, maybe he's a couple pounds actually heavier than that. That's like normally how I take it with weight. They're normally either a couple pounds heavier or a couple pounds lighter, and they're normally a couple inches shorter. You know, they're like, that's always talked up. But it was like, all right, he's not necessarily getting it done all the time off the edge, but maybe on the inside with his explosiveness off the line of scrimmage, maybe I could play this guy as a three technique or maybe even as a four eye or something and really succeed in that sense. But I'm with you. I think he's more so of an edge. I think you're going to have more success there. But certainly on it, on third downs, I think putting him inside would definitely be beneficial.
Yeah, and well, so the next thing I want to move to here then when talking about it is, you know, a lot of times you think pass rusher, you think edge rusher, and, you know, like we talked about last week, the idea is that he's going to get after the quarterback, but reality is when you play defense, you do a little bit of everything. So, Russell, when you look at Rashawn Gary, how does he fare against the run game? What is he going to give you when he's not trying to chase down the quarterback?
Well, I think he's got really good bend. That was something that stood out immediately with him. I thought with his ability to really get to the heels of an offensive lineman and find the direction of the football and bend to it, I thought he did a decent job with it, especially with his explosiveness. Is he the best, you know, run-stopping edge rusher in this class? No, I don't think so. But again, I like his ability, and when he wants to turn it on, he certainly can. I'm a Michigan State grad, so like being able to watch him against Michigan State, it was pain in the ass, to be honest. There was times that he would blow plays up, and there was times that he just disappeared and was on the sidelines. And I think a lot of it, you know, this past year, he was struggling through injuries and things like that. But I like him enough in the run game to where I feel, you know, I could play him. But as far as like a pass rusher, I like him off the edge, and I do like plugging him in inside as an interior pass rusher on third down.
All right, and Owen, now you're going to get the other kind of flip end here, and this one is probably the least likely of the two, but, you know, how is he in coverage? Is he able to drop back, or if you have Rashawn Gary, are you pretty much saying, you know, we're not going to do the whole coverage thing, your job is just to stop the run when necessary and then get after the quarterback?
Yeah, I think he's a guy that, I mean, like I see, he's almost 280 pounds. And while the potential might be there for some 3-4 teams to like him, I know like the Jets, when I can't remember if it was Rex Ryan's last couple of years there or if it was when Todd Bowles took over right away, they played Sheldon Richardson at stand up outside linebacker at like 290 pounds on like rundowns. And to be honest with you, I don't think that Rashawn Gary, to be advantageous to him or to put him in a position to succeed, should ever go backwards. I've had concussions, so correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he did do the linebacker drills at the combine, though. So it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if some team wants to get overly creative and a little too cute and try to do some stuff. I mean, obviously there's going to be some like zone pressure schemes where they're going to send a linebacker off one side and he's going to drop it, but it's going to be like a spot drop, a very short, shallow zone. So if Rashawn Gary is ever covering anybody in man coverage, that defensive coordinator would likely be looking for at work elsewhere pretty soon.
All right. So I want to get both of your guys' take on this next question here. So Owen, we'll stick with you starting here. So again, put on your GM cap, not necessarily of the Packers, but just in general. If you were a GM looking at drafting Rashawn Gary, what's the weak point in the game of his game? Like, what would be your biggest concern about drafting Rashawn Gary if you were a GM?
If you're going to get Rashawn Gary all the time or not, I think that's like talked about. There's times when Rashawn Gary wants to be the best player on the football field. He absolutely can be. I mean, he's a freak athlete. He's a big dude. He's a strong guy. He's very fast for his size. He's athletic. He has bend. He's not rigid. There's times where he can kind of take stuff over, but you very rarely see it. And that's, I think, what's got to be the frustrating thing. And I think that's where any trepidation would come with taking him early, I think, has to be just that it's been so inconsistent. If he was the guy that stepped off the bus first and he played like that all the time, I'm sure there's no way that Rashawn Gary would get out of the top 10. I mean, you're probably talking about him. Had he played up to the hype that he had coming into college, he's right around Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. You know, but as far as that's got to be the problem, is you've got to be confident that your locker room is going to be able to unlock whatever he's got. You know, there's guys like this that, and growing up, I talked about this on the pod that Russell mentioned earlier. I was a Ravens fan growing up. And when with the Ravens, they always took a ton of character concern guys, or those guys with those weird issues, because they're like, well, we've got Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Haloti Ngata and Terrell Suggs in the locker room. If they can't fall into line, we're going to figure it out pretty quick. And that's kind of where I think you'd have to be very confident in your locker room, or very confident in your leaders on defense and your defensive coordinator to be able to unlock that ability all the time. And I don't know if it's a focus thing, or I don't know if it's just because he has been banged up at times. So I don't know if he's been hampered that way or not. But the biggest reservation for me, if I was taking Rashawn Gary, is you'd have to be extremely confident that you're going to get you know, the Rashawn Gary that you see in those flashes on tape all the time. Because, like I said, there are too many times for a premier prospect and a stud recruit that it really almost seemed like, I don't know if he was not disinterested, but he certainly maybe kind of picked his spots a bit. And that's not something you can take when you're looking for that big of an investment. So that would be my major thing. It really has nothing to do with Rashawn Gary's play, like, at all. From a prospect standpoint, you know, when he does what he's able to do, he's a top 10 guy, but it's just not there all the time. And I think that's what scares you off if you're a decision maker. That's especially if you're a guy like, and you mentioned this earlier, like number five, if you're the Buccaneers, if you're Jason Light and you're probably working for your job as a GM this year, that's not a guy I would want to hang my hat on. Mm-hmm.
And Russell, for you, what would your biggest concern be? I feel like you're going to echo a lot of what Owen just said.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been the – I mean, I live in Michigan, so, like, I'm 15 minutes away from Ann Arbor. So I hear about Michigan football every day, and especially every football season. It's all the time. And there was a lot of, you know, praise about Rashawn Gary this, Rashawn Gary that. Then you get to the end of the season and there's a lot of gripes and groans about Rashawn Gary. And the reason why is, again, because he didn't meet the expectations of what you need an edge rusher like him to do and a player of his talent to do. And it's him not turning it on when he needs to. And that's, you know, when I coached defensive line for 6 years at a high school level, I consistently looked for guys that practice the same way that they were going to play. And I wanted that all the time. Now, obviously, I didn't see him in practice, but I watched the tape of him in games when they were live on broadcast. And then, you know, the all 22 of it. And it was, this guy was not actively using his hands. He was not consistently pursuing the football. He was not turning on his, you know, his motor and just all of his skill set. He wasn't turning it all on. And I was like, this is not the right player for me, or for really this draft to be talked about as high as he been. And since really November, I've been saying Chase Winovich has been the best player on that defense this past season. And I think it's starting to come full circle for that. So I'm feeling proud of myself for that one. But, like, as far as drafting him, I think he's a guy that, you know, if he met the expectations, we'd be talking about him at two or three with the Jets or the Niners. I think he's in play again with maybe the Giants because of some of the things I mentioned earlier. But realistically, I mean, he's not on the combine invite list or the NFL draft invite list of the 23 players. He's, you know, he's not on there. And I that's kind of telling to me. I know, you know, some guys decline their invite all the time. You know, Joe Thomas was on a boat when he got drafted. But, you know, with Rashawn Gary, I find it odd that he wouldn't be in the limelight for this. It certainly seems kind of like his thing, and maybe it's not, but there's too many flaws for him for me to feel confident in taking him in the first round. But if I am a team like we talked about with Green Bay with multiple first round picks, or a team like Oakland with multiple first round picks, I would consider it with my second or third first round pick. But overall, there's too much wrong with him as a prospect right now that I would put my job on the line for it.
All right. Well, so last question for you both before we wrap up the podcast here today. So edge rush, pass rush, obviously a very important position. Lots of NFL teams are looking for it. It seems like there's a couple of really strong edge rushers, pass rushers in this draft. Where does Rashawn Gary stack up with the rest of the class as far as all the big names, and just looking at by position, where would you rank them? I know we've kind of talked about it a little bit, comparing them to other guys in the draft, but if you had to give them a solid number of all of the potential edge rushers you get in this draft, where would you rank them? Russell, we'll start with you.
He's my sixth ranked edge. He's my 31st player on my board. He's ranked behind Brian Burns, Cleveland Farrell, Montez Sweat, Josh Allen, Nick Bosa, and I guess you could even throw in Charles Amenawa as well out of Texas, who I've got listed, though, as a defensive lineman. I don't like him strictly as an edge guy. I like his versatility to play in a variety of spots. But for Gary, again, it's 31st, second round, and my sixth overall edge, and Chase Winovich is right behind him.
And Owen, where does Gary rank for you amongst edge rushers in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where right around where Russell said that 5, 6, 7 range. I wouldn't have Gary over like someone like Ja'Kai Polite even like as a pass rusher, but as a football player, I mean, he's going to be able to stay on the field all three downs. I think that's something that Brian Burns is going to have to work to do, and that's something that Ja'Kai Polite. At Florida, he rarely played, first downs. Excuse me. So, I think he's probably in that second tier. Okay, second or third tier, however you want to have it. Because Nick Bosa, to me, is very clearly the best pass rusher in this class, at least from an outside player perspective. And then you've got the Burns and Furl and. Then even that and Josh Allen, and then to me, even like someone like Montez Sweat's probably closer to Rashawn Gary. I think they're two guys that are probably going to be overdrafted based on their athletic performance in the combine. And that's not a slight to either of them. It's just a matter of like what I talked about earlier, the NFL falls in love with workout warriors and guys that, you know, I don't think Montez Sweat's a better football player today than he was in December, but he ran a 4.42 at the combine. So he's probably going to go higher. So it's just kind of one of those things. I don't have Russell's going to definitely upstage me here. I don't have like formal rankings really, but that's where I would put Gary is right around that third tier of guys. Someone like Ja'Kai Polite, Rashawn Gary, Montez Sweat, probably guys that are better geared towards going as football players. I don't think Polite's going to end up in the first round or even probably the top 50 after his pre-draft process here. But probably guys that would go somewhere in the mid-20s, I would feel better about them as football players probably rather than where they will end up going in a couple weeks here.
All right. Well, great stuff, guys. Thank you so much for joining the podcast again today. You guys will be on again next week, I believe. Yes, we'll be talking about tight ends next week with these two here. Make sure to follow Russell and Owen on Twitter. You can follow Russell on Twitter at RussNFLDraft, and Owen you can follow at ReeseDraft. And so thank you once again, guys, for taking time out of your days to join the podcast. We really appreciate you doing this. If you guys missed anything from any of our draft coverage podcasts, just make sure to, wherever you're subscribing to the podcast, just go back, look for the day that you've missed, and get caught up that way. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow. Dan, Chris, and Matt will be breaking down the safety position in the draft. We'll be taking a look at all the different needs that the Packers have with safety and where they could potentially go in the draft to fill those needs. So thank you once again, guys, for listening today. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen on and follow. And as always, go Pack, go.
To Wild.
Oh, yes! And taken by Jackson in the end zone for a touchdown!
Geronimo
it was grabbed
Allison.
By Geronimo Allison! Josh Jackson, the rookie, recovers in the end zone in a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Beathard on third down and 3 in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Beathard looking, hit as he throws it, deep down the right sidelines, and
intercepted on the play.
Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay. Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side, St. Brown makes the tackle.
Nice
reach. Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all
6'5 of his frame tumble out of bounds inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good. Yes. Mason Crosby delivers a dagger. One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. Third and five, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan, looks right, throws right side. Intercepted to the house, Bashaun Breeland. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers. 19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers.
Rodgers looks it over, takes the snap, blitz on, they pick it up, lost
the right side. They got him.
Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks it under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff up the middle. Big hole, straight ahead. It is Aaron Jones off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sidelines, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a burst, 67 yards. Third and six, trailing 30-23, 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A-gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone.
Here he goes! Touchdown! Yes. Davante Adams! Left corner in the end zone from Aaron Rodgers!
16-yard touchdown pass. The Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.